Hello, this is Mark Jenkins. It's my pleasure to share this message with you. I've entitled The Faith of Mary and Joseph. At this time of year, we turn our attention to the birth of our Lord Jesus into the earth through Mary. In all the celebrating, let's appreciate what an awesome miracle God was able to accomplish. We shouldn't lose sight of the fact that Mary and Joseph had a part to play. They had to believe the words spoken to them by Gabriel. What a miracle. The two very ordinary people could hear the message of the virgin birth through Mary, of a baby conceived by the Holy Ghost in her womb, who would be the Savior of the world. Thank God for the faith of Mary and Joseph. I hope that you enjoy this message. Let's begin with prayer. Father God, we are so grateful for the gift of Jesus into the earth to redeem us from spiritual death. Thank you. God, we thank you for giving us Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, for being willing to come into this earth and to die for us. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. And this evening, as we look at your birth in this earth, I believe that we're going to see it in a way that maybe we haven't seen it before. We're going to appreciate the miracle that took place that caused your birth to come to pass. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Ghost, we welcome you this evening. We welcome you to teach us, to reveal truth to us. We thank you for it. And we come against the powers of darkness that would in any way try to bring distractions or disturbances. We arrest you now in Jesus' name. Father, I believe that we're going to look with fresh eyes and see with open hearts the truth of your word this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today as I was contemplating what the Lord would have me to share this evening, I spent a lot of time today just meditating and thinking about the birth of Jesus into the earth, and particularly the birth through Mary. And I was thinking about, you know, here's a young girl. She probably wasn't even 20 years old. And you think about that. Someone in their later teens, a young lady, has been promised to a man and for marriage, but had not yet come together and to be married. But they've been promised to each other, and here she is. And I think about the age of this young woman. I think about the whole life that she has ahead of her, and what a miracle it was for Mary to believe the words that Gabriel the angel had spoke to her in telling her about the birth of Jesus and the conception of Jesus in her womb by the Holy Ghost. What a miracle. I mean, just think about that. I think at times, you know, when we come to this time of the year, Christmas, which is only a few days away, you know, a lot of times in the church programs, you see little kids stand up and they'll recite some of the verses out of Matthew or Luke. And it's nice to see that. I enjoy seeing little kids do that. But I think at times that we don't truly appreciate the miracle that took place, the miracle that a young woman would be willing to suffer the ridicule and the shame. I mean, think about this. You know, she hadn't been legally married, if you want to put it that way. the marriage was not complete. She had never been with Joseph. And Joseph knew that. And so, you know, he had to be on board with this idea of her conceiving without a man's involvement. He had to believe her. He had to believe that this was in fact of the Holy Ghost and not just another man that had caused her to be pregnant. And what a miracle. You think about all of the different ramifications. You know, she could have very easily been shunned from her family and put away by Joseph and not married, and she would have had a mark against her for the rest of her life. And these were the consequences that Mary was looking at and was willing to take the risk, take the chance, and to follow what the angel Gabriel had said to her. And we're going to look at that this evening. We're also going to look at the account of Zacharias. Now, here's a guy. I want to give you a contrast, because that's what the Holy Ghost has given to me to share with you. The contrast between Zacharias and Mary. You see, both Zacharias and Mary were visited by Gabriel. Both of them had an experience where they had a visitation. What I want to point out to you, Zacharias, who was the father of John the Baptist, he was visited by Gabriel and was told that his prayers, I like this part, his prayers had been heard and answered, and he was going to have a son. Zacharias was a high priest. He was someone that was doing the activities of the temple. I mean, he was anointed to be a priest in the house of God. And think about him in that position versus Mary. Was she a priest? No. She was just a young lady. And yet, we're going to see as we look at the two encounters with these two people that here's a guy that should have believed. I mean, that's how I look at it. I look at Zacharias, you know, a priest in the temple, and he is approached by Gabriel. All right, he should have believed. Why didn't he believe? How come? What's the problem here? Why did not Zacharias believe? And yet, here's Mary. Mary believed. Just simple faith. She heard the words and she believed. And we're going to look at this. It's in Luke, the first chapter of Luke. And we're going to look first of all at Zacharias. And then we're going to look at Mary. And this is found, we'll begin reading in verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abijah. And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest office, his lot was to burn incense. All right, so we're going to stop there. So here's Zacharias. You know, his whole life is about being a priest. That's his calling. That's the office that he holds, a priest under the Abrahamic covenant. And he is actually in the process of executing his his job, his responsibilities at this moment in the temple. I mean, I don't know if you can really appreciate this enough. He's in the temple of God. Here's a person who is, I mean, this is what he does all the time. You know, this is his job, his responsibility, and yet I just marvel at his unbelief. Here he is. He's doing the incense in the temple. This is what his lot was. In other words, that means that, you know, they were casting the lot to see who did what jobs in the temple. Very, you know, very simple. So the lot fell for Zacharias to do the incense. So that's what he's doing. So we'll pick it up here. Verse 9, of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Now, wouldn't you think that, you know, here he's been praying, and him and his wife have prayed for children, a son. Wouldn't you think he'd just be just overjoyed? He'd just be so excited. God heard my prayer. And thank God we're going to have a child. And he'd just been so excited. Well, look at what happens. And thou shalt have joy, verse 14, and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Wow. I'm telling you, that's a mouthful right there. The things that he just told Zacharias that his son was going to do. Outstanding. I mean, just outstanding work John the Baptist was going to accomplish in the earth. And I'm telling you, you would think that Zacharias would just be overjoyed. Thank God, we're going to have a son. And not only that, not only are we going to have a son, but look at all the things that our son is going to accomplish in the kingdom of God. And look at what Zacharias says. Verse 18, and Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? In other words, Here is doubt and unbelief just flowing right out of his mouth. How can I believe this is going to happen? How can I know this is going to happen? I mean, just picture. Here's a man whose responsibility it is to operate in the things of God, the holy things. See, and I'm bringing this. I'm trying to bring this out to you because It was different then than it is today. There was only certain people that could go in the temple. There was only certain people that had the right to touch the holy things. And Zacharias was one of those people. He wasn't just Joe Blow that, you know, had some job herding sheep. I mean, his job was handling the things of God in the temple. And yet, when the angel came to him and said, your prayers have been answered. You're going to have a son. And you would think that someone whose job it is to handle the things of God would have recognized the angel of God, Gabriel, recognized this is a word from the Lord and been overjoyed, and yet his response was, how can I know this? What grounds do I have to believe you? Look at what happened when he said that. Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel. It's almost like Gabriel looks at him and says, looks stupid. Can't you see who I am? I am Gabriel. Oh, you knucklehead. That stands in the presence of God and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. You don't believe my words, Zacharias. You just don't believe him. And as a result, he was not able to speak. And now you think about it. Why would that have been shut off, his ability to speak? So he wouldn't spout off any more unbelief and cause the whole thing to be, you know, to not happen. So instead of him, you know, being able to speak out more in belief, he was silenced until the day that it was time for the baby John to be named. And then he wrote down, his name will be John, and his mouth was open and he could speak. But my point here is we're contrasting this man Zacharias and his response to Gabriel, the same angel that visited Mary, and we want to see we want to contrast the difference between how one responded and how the other one responded. And Mary's response was, it was just such pure belief in what she was hearing, and thank God for it, and what a miracle it was! What a miracle! I mean, imagine yourself in her shoes. You know, you're a young girl. You've got your whole life in front of you, and you're visited by an angel of God. All of a sudden, out of the blue, here stands in front of you an angel of God. Gabriel, from the presence of God, is coming and visiting you. And he has a message. He's telling you that there's going to be conceived within you Jesus. And you're not going to know a man, but the Holy Ghost is going to conceive Jesus in your womb, and you're going to give birth to Jesus. Now, when I say the name Jesus, for us, you know, we recognize Jesus, that's his name, but that's not what she heard when she heard that name Jesus, and I'll show this to you. That when she heard that name, she heard Jehovah is Savior, is what she heard. The angel is telling her, you're going to have this child, and you're going to name him Jehovah is Savior. Wow. I mean, that, how in the world could Mary have ever believed and accepted this? It's a miracle that someone, just young in her years, had very little experience in life, but yet she has the confidence that the words that Gabriel spoke to her are going to come to pass, and that she's going to give birth to Jesus. Jehovah is Savior. And that's what we're going to call him. Isn't that amazing? That is amazing compared to Zacharias, who just flat didn't believe. And he had to have his mouth silenced. And yet here's this young girl, who the risk here is that she's going to be labeled as an unclean woman because she had an affair outside of marriage. I mean, this is what she's faced with, and Joseph could very easily have caused this caused this shame to come upon her, but he had to believe as well. Let's look at the encounter that Joseph had, and that's going to be back in Matthew. In Matthew's gospel, we're going to begin reading in chapter 1, verse 18 of Matthew. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, now this is the part right here that I was referring to, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. See, this is the thing that she was faced with, being put away. And Joseph didn't want to make a public spectacle of her. So he was thinking in his head of possibly putting her away privately. In other words, saving her from the public ridicule, but yet still not marrying her. And this was the thought that he had. So these are the things that were at risk here for this woman. I mean, today we don't appreciate it so much because, people are just having babies outside of marriage and don't think a thing about it. They don't have any scruples at all. But yet back here at this time period, this woman, there was great risk for her own, for the rest of her life, how it would be spent. And it was all hinged upon believing these words. Believing. Could Joseph believe the words that he was going to hear? Verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Well, let's look at this for a few minutes. He is being told one of the most important messages probably of his whole life. He is having a dream and receiving this information while in a dream. Now, there's a lot of people that discount a dream. They discount, they don't put a lot of weight in it. Would you say that this dream is fairly important? Oh, yeah. Because this dream would make the difference between whether or not Joseph was going to put Mary away, or if he was going to go ahead and follow through with marrying her. This dream, how important is it? And this is how God chose to communicate this message to Joseph. Now, I've had dreams, And maybe you've had some dreams that were God dreams. And we need to learn to pay attention to the dreams that we believe are from God. And we need to give them a priority in our life and recognize that God can speak to us while we're sleeping. And you wake up sometime and there, you know that you've had a dream. You know that there's something significant about it. Write it down. Write it down. And I'll tell you, for myself, if I've had a God, I call them God dreams. If I've had a God dream and I know that this is a God dream, I generally don't have to write it down. I can remember it. And that's one way that I know that it was from the Lord, because you just can't. Some of those, it's just like they're indelibly etched on the inside of you. You just can't forget it. So that's the way that the angel of the Lord conveyed this message to Joseph. He did it in a dream while he was sleeping. And he said, don't worry. Go ahead. Take Mary to be thy wife. For that, this is the last part of verse 20, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Now remember, Jesus, and again, when we hear Jesus, we don't hear the same way that they heard the name Jesus. When they heard the name Jesus, they heard Jehovah is Savior. And here's the proof of it. Look at what is said after that. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save. Now, what does a Savior do? He saves his people from their sins. So here's Joseph. You know, he probably thought as he was growing up that he was going to have a normal adulthood. He probably thought, you know, we'll have a few kids and, you know, I'll do this carpentry work and we'll just have a regular family. And all of a sudden, his life is changed forever. I mean, he has become a household name, Mary and Joseph. We all have heard him since we were kids. His life changed forever, and it wasn't by his choice. It was God's choosing. And so here he is, receiving this word, having to make this decision. I'm going to believe what I'm hearing. I'm going to believe that this is of God, that this child inside of my soon-to-be wife, that this child is the Savior of the world. Boy, I tell you, wouldn't that would take a mountain of faith, just a, you know, the confidence, believing that what I'm hearing, this is of God. Amazing. That's amazing to me, what these two people, what they believed. And they believed it so much. They believed it so much that they in fact did call his name Jesus, as they were told to do. I mean, it's one thing to hear something from the Lord or have a dream or, you know, believe that I heard something. It's another thing to actually do it. Now, let's look at that. Let's think about that for just a minute. You know, he's being told here, I want you to name this baby the Savior of the world. That's going to be his name. You're going to call him this. Well, that's just hard to believe, that somebody could believe that and do it. I'm having this encounter. I'm having this dream, and I'm being told in this dream that My wife-to-be is pregnant with a baby that has been conceived by the Holy Ghost, and when the and I'm going to marry her, and when I marry her and this baby is born, we're going to call him the Savior of the world. Wow. Well, that's just over the top to me. Think about it in contrast. Contrast this again with Zacharias, who looks at Gabriel. I mean, Zacharias, who his whole life is about operating in the things of God, and he looks at Gabriel, the messenger of God, and looks at him and said, "How can I believe you?" But yet Joseph believes, and he'd had a dream. It was a dream. He didn't have a physical visitation, so to speak, but he had a dream and was told these things in the dream. And he believes. We know he believes because how do we know? He didn't put Mary away, so he had to have believed. Amazing, isn't it? It really is. And thank God for these two people. Verse 22. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. So this is what the prophet said. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus. Praise God! That is an awesome miracle in the lives of these two young people. I don't know exactly how old they are, but I cannot imagine that these people are, you know, in their early 30s or 40s. These people were younger. I mean, in this time period, you know, people were getting married in their teenage years, early 20s. And these two young people had the wherewithal to believe this, the angel of God, and to do what he told them to do. Well, how do you know? They did not have relations after they got married until the birth of Jesus. You know, she remained a virgin and gave birth to Jesus. I mean, they believed. They both had to believe, and they did. And what a miracle. What a miracle. So now we've looked at Joseph. We see what Joseph did. Let's look at Mary. So let's go back. Go back to Luke one more time. So after the account in Luke chapter 1 of Zacharias, and we see that all taking place, now we're going to come down to verse 26, and now we're going to look at Gabriel and his visitation with Mary. Verse 26, and then the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And when I see that espoused, it's so different today, I think, how we do things with marriage. Back then, the person was promised to be the husband, the wife of, and but then there was the marriage that came afterwards, and that's what happened here. Verse 28, and the angel came in unto her, this is Mary, and said, Hail, hail, thou that art highly favored, The Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now we saw what happened when Zacharias had his encounter with Gabriel. Now we're going to see what Mary's response was whenever she had her encounter. Verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? See, this is completely different. She's not questioning the words that were being spoken. She's only asking how it could happen, how it's going to happen, because she knows not a man. It's a big difference. Zechariah questioned the words themselves, the words. He couldn't believe what he was hearing. She's only saying, how's it going to happen? And that's a much different. And my point here is this. This young woman, this, you know, probably 15, 16, 17-year-old girl, having this encounter where she's having a visitation from the Gabriel, from the presence of God, and she's being told about this baby that is conceived within her, and his name is going to be Jesus, which is Jehovah is Savior. What kind of thoughts had to be racing through this girl's mind? And here's the question: How is it going to happen? I don't know a man. How is it going to happen? But yet she didn't doubt the words she was hearing. She didn't doubt whether or not it could happen. She just was asking how it was going to happen, not whether or not it could or not. And I think what confidence that this girl has. And it astounds me, the miracle that God found this person, this girl, and this, you know, she's of the right lineage. She's of the house of David. Same with Joseph. And she believes the words that she's hearing. And thank God for it. Thank God for Mary and for her faith and for her confidence. And thank God for Joseph. You know, these are things that I believe when we hear these verses at Christmas time, generally is when we hear them, that we don't give enough thought to these two people, to the, you know, to what they were facing, what they're facing for not being married yet, and for her to have a child, you know, without having the marriage covenant entered into. And you think about Joseph and the shame of marrying a woman that has already conceived before the marriage. This was bad. I mean, these things were bad in the sight of society back then. It wasn't like today where, you know, nobody really cares about it. It's much different. They cared. There was risk here of being put away, and for your life to be completely changed as a result of this. And these were the things that they were dealing with. These were the things that were that was in Joseph's mind that he was thinking, am I going to trust that this is truly an angel from God? Am I going to trust these words that I'm hearing? And Mary, likewise, am I going to believe? And she did. She believed. And thank God they both believed. Thank God that God was able to bring through these, through Mary, Jesus into the earth through a virgin birth. Miracle of all miracles. He had to come into this world through a womb. There was only one way in, and he came in, and it was through the belief, through her believing the words that she heard. Thank God for Mary's faith. Let's go back in verse 34 again. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Just think about this. You, up until this point, she probably had a pretty normal life. Joseph also, pretty normal life. She probably had, all the normal activities, all the normal experiences for someone her age and her society. Until this one day, until the day that everything changed for her. Everything changed. That moment that angel showed up, her whole life changed. She went from obscurity to now, so most all Christians have heard about Mary. So her life went from just a normal everyday life to just being upended, completely changed, because she was the one that God had chosen to give birth to Jesus. And my point in saying this is, we all have roles and responsibilities that, and there are expectations that God has for our lives. And you think about Mary, she didn't choose herself to be the one that God used to bring Jesus into the earth. She didn't choose that. And yet, when the call came, she believed and she did as God wanted her to do. And see, this has an application for our lives. Are we going to answer the call when God directs us to do something that maybe we hadn't planned on doing? Maybe it wasn't quite what we expected our life to be. You see, whatever plans Mary had growing up, she probably, I don't know what they did. Maybe they played with dolls the way girls do now. Maybe she had these dreams of just having a normal family. And yet, all of that changed. When God chose her, her whole life changed. And she was willing to say yes to him, is my point. And my question to you is this. When when you discover what it is that God has called you to do, are you going to say yes and follow Him, no matter what it is, no matter what the cost, no matter how it affects the rest of your life? Maybe the plans that you had for your life are, you know, going in one direction, but God has something completely different for your life. And are you going to be like Mary and going to say, yes, Lord, whatever it is that you have planned for my life, I'm going to do that. Maybe he'll come to you in a dream. Maybe he'll give you a dream, and that dream will be the plan that he has for your life, and it'll be up to you to follow it. And maybe it'll just be a still small voice on the inside of you giving you direction. Who knows how he's going to do it? But see, I truly believe that each one of us has a role to play in the body of Christ. And, you know, as he shows us what that role is, are we going to respond? Are we going to do as he directs us? Because truthfully, that's the only way that you'll experience the true fulfillment of life, by answering the call the way Mary did. She answered the call. She said yes. She was willing. She was willing to, if I could say it this way, she was willing to take a risk. You know, in her mind, I have to imagine that it looked pretty risky, you know, what was being proposed by the angel, you know, because of the view that society took on women that were pregnant out of the marriage covenant. Yeah, I would imagine that it looked pretty risky, but she was willing to say yes and willing to do what God had asked her to do. Not having a full understanding of what was taking place, other than just knowing this is what he wants and this is what I'm going to do. That faith and trust and confidence in what God is asking us to do, and willingly following, even though we don't have all the answers, even though we don't know exactly what the full picture is going to be. I'm sure even through the life experiences of raising Jesus and seeing him go into ministry, I would have to imagine there was some tremendous challenges, watching him, seeing him, and the experiences that Jesus had, and yet she was right there, and we thank God for both of them, for Mary and Joseph. And I just wanted to look at those verses this evening, because we're right here at the Christmas season. We got Christmas in a couple of days, and I know right now that a lot of people are doing their last minute shopping and all the things that are associated with Christmas, the buying the gifts and the parties and all of that. But it's a good time to just stop and to appreciate the miracle that took place getting Jesus into this earth, and thanking God that he came. Just thanking God that God was willing to leave heaven and to be born into this earth in this human body, and to experience the things that human beings experience, to have life here on this earth, and to do it for us, because of his great love for us. And I hope that we don't let this time go by where we get caught up with all of the hoopla about gift giving and all this, the sentiment of Christmas, and miss the greatest miracle of all, that God sent His Son to save us. Thank God, because of His great love for us. His love for us, you know, when we weren't lovely, when we had all of these problems, we were spiritually dead, yet God in His love for us was willing to leave heaven and to put on a flesh and blood, flesh and bone body, to walk on this earth, to be one with us. Thank God. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for His willingness to come here and His willingness to die for us. Hallelujah. Thank God for his birth in that manger. You know, what a, you know, God who existed forever. I mean, he has always existed. Was willing to step out of heaven into this earth, and not only that, but to be born in a manger. I mean, isn't that amazing? You know, that God was willing to do this for us. Be born in a manger and then to live out His life on this earth and to suffer and die in our place so that we could enjoy eternity with Him as a member of His family when we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life. Hallelujah. What an awesome gift our Father has given us in Jesus. What an awesome gift. And what an awesome time of the year to celebrate the gift of Jesus into the earth. So I just encourage you this evening. I encourage you to don't let this time slip by and just be you know, swept away with all of the different things, the different activities that happen around Christmas. Don't let it slip by without taking time to just appreciate Jesus, appreciate His willingness to come into this earth, to be born of a woman, to be born into this earth, to live among us. You know, Emmanuel, God with us. He lived with us. He experienced all of the things that we experience. This is what God was willing to do for us, for His great love for us. Amen. Hallelujah. So, as you're celebrating on Christmas morning, I would encourage you, just take a few minutes and celebrate Jesus. I was thinking about this as I was writing my monthly teaching letter for this month. Leave it to us to have a birthday party once a year for someone, and then we buy the gifts for ourselves. we sometimes we almost forget about the guest of honor, Jesus, whose birthday it is. We use His birthday to get gifts for one another. I think that's kind of funny. And then we forget to you know, at least appreciate Him on His own birthday. I encourage you to do that. I encourage you to take a few minutes and just, as a family, you know, worship the Lord. Thank Him for being willing to come into this earth and to save us and to deliver us and out of spiritual death and into life. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. And I hope that you have a Merry Christmas with your family this year. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for the gift of Jesus. We're so grateful that you have sent him into the earth, that he was born in that manger. He was born of a virgin. He came into this earth and he lived and he experienced all of the things that we experience. And then he suffered and died in our place. Thank you, Father. Thank you for Jesus. Jesus, we thank you for your willingness to come here and to live with us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for suffering, for dying, and for living. And I thank you that we are able to be a part of your family. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We are born again, children of the Most High God, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Hi, this is Mark. It's been my pleasure to share this message with you. I hope that you receive something from it. If you'd like to contact our ministry, you can do so at www.markjenkinsministries.org. I hope that you'll join us again. Be blessed.